Imagine a critical metal, right? Yeah. One that the United States military absolutely requires. They need it to build defense infrastructure, forge high-strength steel, and even power the next generation of massive AI data centers. Mm-hmm. Now imagine that roughly 87% of the global supply of that exact metal is completely controlled by China and Russia.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's a huge problem. Suddenly, you aren't just looking at a mining operation, you know, you're looking at a geopolitical choke point.
Exactly.
So today, we're bringing our talk tickers approach to a company that happens to be the Pentagon's favorite geographical loophole. We are diving into the Q2 2026 earnings call transcript from Largo, ticker symbol LGO.
And it is a fascinating setup, honestly, because Largo operates primarily out of Brazil.
Right.
Which makes them the world's largest primary vanadium producer, situated in a Western-friendly, non-hostile jurisdiction.
Which is key.
It's huge. But when you crack open this particular earnings transcript, okay, you're immediately confronted with this financial paradox.
Yeah, it's wild.
I mean, you have explosive top-line growth sitting right next to what looks like a catastrophic bottom-line loss.
Yeah.
And all this is happening while management is quietly, completely rewriting the company's DNA.
Which makes this earnings report incredibly dangerous to read at face value.
Mm.
If you just glance at the headline numbers on your brokerage app, you might make a very costly mistake.
Oh, absolutely.
So our mission today is to cut through the accounting noise, get rid of the Wall Street jargon. We're going to evaluate the raw data, unpack the underlying mechanics of their new business model, and figure out exactly what this quarter means for a retail investor trying to decide if Largo is a buy, hold, or sell.
Okay.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the headline numbers.
Yeah, the best place to start is just the sheer scale of the revenue jump, because mm-hmm. the top line cash generation is doing things we just haven't seen from Largo in quite a while.
Right. Let's lay out the core data. Largo's revenue hit $44 million for the quarter.
Wow.
Which is a massive 68.5% increase year over year.
Nearly 70% growth.
Yeah, exactly. On the top line. And when you look at their adjusted EBITDA, you know, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, it came in at $2.7 million.
Which is a huge leap.
Right. A year ago, that number was practically zero. It was just $34,000.
Yeah, the mining operations alone actually posted an adjusted EBITDA mm-hmm. of roughly $4.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that represents a 65% jump. And the catalyst there is really the pricing realization.
Right.
They're getting just under $7. I think it was $6.96 per pound of vanadium sold right now.
Up from $6.39 a year ago. So the top line is pumping, right?
Mm.
The realized prices are up. The EBITDA is rocketing out of the basement. But if you're a retail investor looking at your screen right now, you see those numbers and then you see the giant glaring red flag.
The net loss.
The net loss. A reported net loss of $22.7 million. I mean, this feels like getting a massive promotion and a raise at work, only to find out your house needs a brand new roof.
That's a great way to put it.
How do we reconcile a 68% revenue increase with a $23 million crater on the bottom line? I imagine a lot of fingers are hovering over the sell button.
Oh, I totally understand the panic.
Yeah.
But this is exactly why we have to separate accounting mechanics from operational reality.
Right.
Management explicitly noted that the composition of that massive net loss was heavily driven by non-cash items.
Okay, let's unpack the mechanics of a non-cash item for a second,
mm-hmm.
because it's probably the most misunderstood part of corporate earnings.
Absolutely.
The transcript cites a write-down of vanadium assets and deferred income tax expenses as the primary culprits here.
Right. So a write-down is essentially a required accounting adjustment. It reflects current market realities on the balance sheet.
Okay.
So let's say you operate a mine, right? And you have a stockpile of processed vanadium sitting in a warehouse. You mined it when it cost a certain amount, and you expected to sell it for a certain premium.
Sure.
But if the global spot price of vanadium drops below what you originally value that inventory at, the accounting rules require you to take a write-down.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. You have to reduce the value of that inventory on your books today to reflect what it's actually worth in the current market.
So it's like going back to the house analogy. It's like you get the promotion, your daily cash flow is way up.
Right.
But then you open up Zillow and realize your house's estimated market value just dropped by 20%.
Exactly.
You didn't actually lose any cash from your checking account today, but your net worth on paper took a massive hit.
That is a perfect way to conceptualize it. It is paper damage.
Yeah.
Now, they did cite some higher professional and finance costs, which are real cash expenses, but the bulk of that $22 million loss is a balance sheet adjustment.
Not a liquidity crisis.
It's exactly. Not a liquidity crisis. If you want to know the actual operational pulse of the company, the actual cash they're generating from digging rocks out of the ground,
yeah,
you have to look at cash provided before working capital.
And I was looking at that exact metric because it completely changes the narrative.
Doesn't it?
For Largo, in Q2 2026, that number more than tripled. It went from $2.2 million in the prior year period to $6.6 million.
Yeah.
So the cash actually flowing through the business before they start paying off short-term liabilities or tweaking inventory levels is getting substantially stronger.
The underlying core business moved in the right direction. The cash generation is accelerating. But top-line cash doesn't mean much if the cost to dig the rocks out of the ground are rising even faster.
Yeah.
We have to look at the mine level to see if this growth is actually sustainable in the current macroeconomic environment.
Which brings us to section two, the story behind the numbers. And the production data at the Maracas mentioned mine presents another fascinating contradiction.
It really does.
The volume metrics are incredible. Vanadium production is up over 28.5%.
Wow.
They produced 2,900 tons of vanadium pentoxide equivalent, and their sales jumped even higher, rising 53.5%.
Yeah, the operational efficiency at the mine site is firing on all cylinders right now.
Mm.
Management attributed the volume jump to better ore availability, improved mine access, and crucial stability at the processing plant.
Okay, so they're getting the dirt.
They're getting the high-quality dirt and processing it without significant bottlenecks.
But then I look at the cost side of the ledger, and the margin compression is severe. Cash operating costs rose to $5.10 per pound sold.
Yeah.
That's up almost 50 cents from a year ago. It was $4.63, so I have to push back here. Wait, they are pulling more out of the ground and selling 53% more volume, but it's costing them nearly 50 cents more per pound to do it.
Hmm.
And the executive chairman openly admitted the global vanadium market is oversupplied right now. Aren't they just mining themselves into a more expensive hole in an oversupplied market?
Well, what's fascinating here is it's the most critical question to ask about a mining stock. And the answer requires looking at the geopolitical realities driving those costs.
Okay.
Co-CEO Jim Banantine was very specific about this margin compression.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a case of sloppy management or a bloated corporate structure. He explicitly pointed to global inflation and the war involving Iran as direct drivers.
The ripple effects of global conflict are just fascinating. The transcript notes that material costs for a mine in Brazil are directly impacted by tensions in the Middle East.
Right. Banantine pointed to higher prices for diesel fuel, for mining explosives, and for sulfur-derived reagents.
Reagents being the chemicals they use to process it.
Exactly. The specialized chemicals they use in the processing plant to separate the valuable vanadium from the waste rock. When global supply chains are disrupted by conflict, the cost of crude oil spikes.
Makes sense.
That means the diesel required to run those massive haul trucks at the mine becomes significantly more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The petrochemicals required to make explosives become more expensive.
Yeah.
So you pair that severe cost inflation with the fact that they're simply moving 53% more total volume, of course your operating costs are going to surge.
I get the macro environment is punishing their cost structure. But that brings me back to my initial pushback. If diesel and explosive are more expensive and the market is flooded with standard vanadium, why on earth brag about pulling 28% more product out of the ground?
Because they aren't just blindly digging anymore. Banantine highlighted a massive strategic pivot in their operating philosophy. Largo is no longer just maximizing production. They're optimizing for profitable production.
I need to dig into the mechanics of that, because historically in the mining sector, the playbook is the exact opposite.
Oh, totally.
Usually when commodity prices fall, a mine will actually try to maximize its raw volume. They dig as much as possible to achieve economies of scale.
Right. Spread those massive fixed costs, the processing plant, the heavy machinery, over a larger number of tons.
Hoping to drive down the per unit cost.
Exactly. And that strategy works until the variable costs, the diesel, the explosives, the chemical reagents become so expensive that every additional ton you dig actually loses you money.
Ah, I see.
So Banantine is drawing a hard line in the sand. He's saying they're becoming surgical. If it costs $5.10 to pull a pound of vanadium out of the ground, and they have a commercial contract that only wants to pay $4.80, they are simply not going to mine that batch right now.
Oh, wow.
They're adjusting their mine plan and their plant utilization to meet only the demand that guarantees a profitable margin. Quality of revenue over quantity of revenue.
And the ultimate guarantee of a profitable margin is locking in a buyer who isn't incredibly price sensitive.
Bingo.
Which brings us back to the geopolitical hook we started with. The U.S. Defense Logistics Agency, or the DLA. This was the plot twist in the earnings call that fundamentally alters the risk profile of this company.
Oh, it really does. It provides a level of cash flow certainty that you rarely see in junior or mid-tier mining companies.
Let's lay out the terms. Largo secured a $60.1 million delivery order from the DLA to supply high-purity vanadium products.
Massive.
It is. It's part of a larger existing five-year contract, but this specific $60 million tranche is enormous. Banantine called it a strong endorsement of our product quality and emphasized Largo's critical role in the U.S. defense supply chain.
And for retail investors who might not track government procurement, the Defense Logistics Agency is the combat support agency for the U.S. Department of Defense.
Right.
One of their mandates is to manage the national defense stockpile. They are responsible for acquiring and storing the strategic and critical materials that the military and the U.S. industrial base desperately need, but cannot adequately source domestically within the U.S.
Which perfectly circles back to the China and Russia monopoly. The Pentagon cannot rely on adversarial nations for the high purity of vanadium required for aerospace titanium alloys and high-strength steel used in military infrastructure.
No, they can't.
So they turn to Brazil, and they turn to Largo. But what I find even more compelling than the $60 million headline figure is the actual logistics of the contract.
Oh, yeah, the delivery schedule.
The initial delivery schedule is set at 20 tons per week.
And the reason for that specific volume is incredible. It's strictly governed by the DLA's physical capability to accept the material into their receiving warehouse.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Largo is literally backing the trucks up as fast as the U.S. government can physically open the garage doors and unload the pallets.
That's hilarious. And Banantine noted the payment terms are net 30, meaning 30 days after Largo drops off that weekly 20-ton shipment, the U.S. Treasury wires the cash.
Beautiful.
Furthermore, if the DLA upgrades its warehouse logistics and can suddenly intake 40 tons a week, Largo can accelerate deliveries, which immediately accelerates that sovereign-backed cash flow directly into their bank account.
It is the ultimate financial safety net. And management actually managed to stack another geopolitical win on top of the DLA contract. They secured an exemption from a 25% U.S. tariff.
Ah, yes. The classification is HTSUS 2825.30 for anyone tracking the specific customs codes. The U.S. slapped a 25% tariff on various Brazilian products, but Largo lobbied and secured an express exemption for their vanadium oxides and hydroxides imported from Brazil.
Which acts as a massive competitive moat. It protects their high-purity vanadium business margins in the United States against competitors who might face tariff headwinds.
Huge advantage.
Now, they did clarify that this exemption does not extend to ferrovanadium that is exported directly from Brazil.
Ferrovanadium being the iron vanadium alloy specifically used to strengthen steel rebar in construction, right?
Correct. But management mitigated that concern by noting that their exposure there is incredibly limited anyway. The vast majority of the ferrovanadium they sell to U.S. customers doesn't actually ship directly from Brazil.
Okay, so if we synthesize this first half of the strategy, stabilizing the core vanadium business is step one. They are shifting away from raw volume to prioritize only profitable production.
Yep.
They're offsetting geopolitical inflation by passing the hat to the U.S. military via a $60 million DLA order, and they successfully navigated trade policy to dodge a 25% tariff.
Exactly.
But here's the reality of our talk ticker's analysis. Surviving an oversupplied vanadium market with defense contracts is great, but it doesn't necessarily generate the exponential growth investors are looking for.
Right. Survival isn't growth.
To actually thrive, management is digging into what else is hiding in their dirt. Which brings us to section three, management guidance.
This is where we transition from analyzing a pure play vanadium miner to analyzing a diversified critical mineral supplier. And the guidance data they release for the rest of 2026 is the blueprint for that transition.
Okay, let's look at that guidance. For the full year, their vanadium guidance remains completely unchanged. They expect to produce between 10,500 and 12,000 tons.
All right.
So the vanadium baseline is set. But the massive pivot here is their initial guidance for a brand new product, copper PCM concentrate.
PGM standing for platinum group metals.
Yes, your platinums, your palladiums, your gold, your silver. Largo is guiding for 300 to 380 tons per month of this new concentrate.
And the grades they're pulling are impressive. They are looking at roughly 15% copper, 41 grams per ton of PGMs in gold, and 53 grams per ton of silver.
They've essentially been sitting on a treasure chest this entire time, treating it as waste rock or just a low-value byproduct.
Basically, yeah.
This copper PGM move is like a bakery realizing they can sell the donut holes for pure profit. For years, they've been cutting out donuts and throwing away the center dough scrap.
I love that analogy.
And suddenly, management looks at the scrap bin, realizes the price of flour and sugar is skyrocketing, and says, wait, why don't we just fry the scraps and sell the donut holes?
The donut hole analogy is actually perfectly aligned with the financial reality here, specifically regarding capital expenditure. Because the most dangerous phrase in mining is, we are opening a new circuit.
Because it's expensive.
Exactly. It usually means hundreds of millions of dollars in upfront capital costs.
But that isn't the case here. Explain the mechanics of how they are actually extracting this copper and gold, because they aren't blasting a brand new mine shaft, are they?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
The brilliance of this move lies in the metallurgical reality that the copper and the PGMs are co-located in the exact same ore body as the primary vanadium.
Oh.
So that means the heavy lifting, the blasting of the rock, the diesel for the haul trucks, the massive electricity costs to crush the ore is already fully absorbed and paid for by the primary vanadium operation.
It's just sitting there.
The dirt is already sitting in the processing plant.
So how do they physically separate the precious metals from the vanadium without building a new facility?
They're utilizing a process called froth flotation, and they're doing it using infrastructure they already built.
Okay, froth flotation. How does that work?
It's a fascinating chemical process. You take the finely crushed ore, mix it with water to create a slurry, and then you add very specific chemical reagents. You pump massive amounts of air bubbles into the bottom of the tank.
Just like a giant jacuzzi.
Exactly. A giant chemical jacuzzi.
Right.
The chemicals are designed so that the copper and precious metal particles become hydrophobic. They repel water.
Right.
So they attach themselves to the rising air bubbles and float to the surface, creating this mineral-rich froth that is skimmed off the top. The waste rock stays wet and sinks to the bottom.
That sounds incredibly capital intensive to build those massive bubbling tanks, though.
It is, but Largo already had them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they originally built this exact flotation infrastructure to extract ilmenite, which is a titanium iron oxide mineral they also produce as a secondary revenue stream.
Right. The transcript said ilmenite sales jumped 67%.
Yes, to over 10,000 tons. But management looked at the macroeconomic data, looked at the skyrocketing prices for copper and gold, and realized the math was overwhelmingly in favor of precious metals over titanium.
So they literally just pressed pause on the ilmenite processing, cleaned out the tanks, changed the chemical reagents, and started running the copper PGM concentrate through the exact same flotation circuit.
That's exactly what they did. Full-scale commercial production of the copper PGM concentrate officially started on August 7th, 2026.
Zero material new capital expenditure.
Zero. Shared operating costs with the vanadium mine. This means every ton of copper and gold they skim off the top of those tanks is a phenomenally high margin revenue stream.
Incredible.
They're already in commercial discussions with smelters and international commodity traders. And according to management, the market demand for this specific concentrate is extremely robust.
But even with zero capex, transitions like this take time. It takes months to optimize the flotation chemistry, negotiate the offtake agreements with the smelters, ship the concentrate, and actually get the cash wired to the bank account.
Very true.
And time is a luxury that Largo almost ran out of. Which brings us to arguably the most vital piece of management guidance in the entire transcript, the debt restructuring.
Oh, yeah. If you're an investor focused on liquidity and bankruptcy risk, this is the maneuver that arguably saved the company's quarter, if not its entire year.
Because the balance sheet was looking terrifying. Let's look at the liquidity metrics as of June 30th, 2026. Largo had just $5.1 million in cash on hand.
That's nothing for a mining company.
Nothing. But their total debt stood at a towering $114.2 million. And the truly scary part, they had an $82.2 million commercial bank debt facility maturing next month, September 2026.
Facing an $82 million bullet payment with $5 million in the bank is the definition of a liquidity crisis. That's the kind of debt cliff that forces companies into catastrophic, highly dilutive equity raises or fire sales of their best assets.
But they managed to negotiate their way out of it. They announced a binding agreement with a syndicate of five major Brazilian banks, you know, Banco do Brasil, Santander, a few others.
Right.
They took that $82.2 million ticking time bomb and extended the final maturity all the way out to March 2030.
And the structure of the extension is highly favorable to Largo. They secured a six-month grace period on principal payments, followed by 36 months of predictable quarterly amortizations.
So they get a breather.
A huge breather. They still have to service the interest monthly, but the crushing weight of having to refinance the entire principal amount in a high interest rate environment is just gone.
Now, I have to play devil's advocate here, going back to our bakery analogy.
Okay.
Management figured out how to sell the high-margin donut hole, sure, but they also essentially just walked into the bank and begged to push off the mortgage payment on the bakery for 4 years.
No.
If I'm a retail investor, my immediate fear is that they are just buying time. Are they just a zombie company kicking the can down the road, hoping vanadium prices magically rebound before 2030?
I would argue it is the exact opposite of a zombie company maneuver.
Why?
If Largo had restructured this debt without making any operational changes, I would agree with you. That's just kicking the can. But when you contextualize this debt extension alongside the DLA contract and the copper byproduct, it isn't a delay tactic, it's runway.
Explain the difference. I mean, why would these major Brazilian banks agree to extend this debt if the core vanadium market is oversupplied?
Because the banks can see the cash flow trajectory.
Mm.
When a company has a massive debt payment due in 30 days,
mm-hmm.
every corporate decision is driven by blind panic.
Right.
But by securing this runway, Largo can methodically execute their transition. The banks look at that $60 million U.S. Defense Logistics Agency order, which pays reliably every 30 days, and they see a de facto sovereign guarantee of short-term cash flow.
That makes sense.
They look at the zero capex copper flotation circuit, and they see immediate margin expansion. The extension gives Largo the breathing room to get the high-margin byproduct fully optimized and monetized without the threat of the banks foreclosing on the mine.
It also theoretically protects shareholders from massive dilution, right? The transcript does note that Largo has an ATM or at-the-market equity program.
Yes, they raised $24.8 million in net proceeds through that ATM program since the start of the year.
Mm.
So they have been issuing shares and diluting the equity slightly to keep the lights on and manage working capital.
But with the debt cliff removed until 2030, the pressure to heavily dilute shareholders at current market prices is significantly reduced. And there's actually one more wild card in the management guidance that could generate a massive cash infusion, completely wiping out that debt without issuing a single new share of stock.
The tungsten assets.
The tungsten assets. This is a fascinating side plot that really highlights the geopolitical theme of this entire earnings call.
It's such a wild side story.
Management stated they are actively evaluating strategic options for their tungsten assets. And in Wall Street parlance, evaluating strategic options almost universally means we are actively trying to sell this to the highest bidder.
Yeah, that's code for sale.
Exactly. Largo owns the Northern Dancer deposit in the Yukon Territory of Canada, which they noted is one of the world's largest undeveloped tungsten deposits. They also own the Cerrejes Novos tailings project in Brazil, which they actually operated back in 2011 and 2012 before shutting it down to focus solely on vanadium.
And the timing of this strategic evaluation is impeccable. I mean, why are they suddenly eager to monetize tungsten assets that have been sitting dormant for over a decade?
Because the global market prices for tungsten have 10x. They've gone up tenfold since 2012.
Tenfold.
And the reason for that price explosion has nothing to do with standard market demand. It is purely geopolitical. China recently restricted exports of tungsten.
Ah, of course.
Tungsten is incredibly dense and hard. It is vital for industrial drill bits, aerospace manufacturing, and armor-piercing munitions. With China choking off the supply, the Western world is suddenly panicking. spot prices have skyrocketed, and Largo is sitting on two massive non-producing assets located in completely safe Western jurisdictions.
They have to be fielding inbound expressions of interest from desperate buyers.
Oh, absolutely.
If Largo can successfully monetize those assets, essentially selling them off at the absolute peak of a geopolitical supply crunch, they could theoretically use that windfall cash to immediately pay down a massive chunk of that remaining debt.
Further de-risking the balance sheet.
Exactly.
Which perfectly sets up section four, the final piece of our analysis, the bottom line. So what does this all mean? We've looked at the massive revenue jump masked by the paper net loss.
Right.
We see the strategic shift to profitable mining and the defense contracts offsetting inflation. We see the debt kicked down the road to 2030, new copper cash streams coming online with zero capex, and potential tungsten windfalls on the horizon.
A lot of moving parts.
A ton of moving parts. Where does this leave the Talk Ticker's audience today?
Well, it requires a definitive verdict on the risk-reward profile.
So let's get to it. You have looked at the financial x-ray. You've diagnosed the operational pivot. Is Largo a buy, hold, or sell for the retail investor?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, my verdict is that Largo represents a cautious, bullish signal for long-term, highly patient investors.
Cautious and patient.
Yes. But I have to emphasize the words cautious and patient because the short-term volatility remains a significant risk.
Okay, let's clearly define those parameters. What is the fundamental bear case? Why should an investor exercise extreme caution?
You have to respect the reality that Largo's core business today is still standard vanadium. And the core vanadium market is objectively oversupplied.
Right.
Executive Chairman Arias was transparent about this headwind.
Yeah.
The oversupply isn't a minor blip. It's primarily driven by a massive structural slowdown in the construction market in China.
Let's make sure the mechanics of that are clear for the listeners. The primary global use for standard vanadium is as an alloy additive to strengthen steel, right?
Correct.
Specifically steel rebar used in massive concrete construction projects.
Precisely. So when the Chinese real estate sector, which was historically the largest consumer of steel on the planet, experiences a prolonged slump, they start building massive skyscrapers and high-speed rail networks.
No, they don't need the rebar.
They require vastly less rebar, and the baseline global demand for standard vanadium simply craters. Until the Chinese construction sector rebounds or the global supply of vanadium shrinks dramatically, the baseline spot price is going to face severe downward pressure.
That's tough.
That is a massive macro headwind that Largo's management just cannot control.
Okay, so that is the bear case. If you buy Largo, you're swimming against the overwhelming tide of a Chinese real estate slump that's depressing the price of your primary product. So give me the bullish catalyst. Why the long-term optimism?
Because Largo's management recognizes that exact bear case, and they're aggressively diversifying their survival strategy so they aren't completely tethered to Chinese construction.
Okay.
The long-term bullish thesis relies on their ability to execute the transition. They're capitalizing on the copper and PGMs using existing infrastructure to build a high-margin moat. They're actively looking to monetize non-core tungsten assets at the top of the market cycle to repair the balance sheet.
And there's one final, potentially massive catalyst on the demand side that fundamentally alters the long-term thesis. Vanadium flow batteries, or VFBs.
Yes. This is the technological wild card that could completely decouple vanadium from the steel industry.
Let's explain what a VFB is, because it is radically different from the batteries most people are familiar with. When we think of batteries, we think of lithium ion.
Right. Our phones, laptops, electric vehicles.
Exactly. The solid-state batteries. Lithium ion is incredible for mobility because it packs a massive punch of energy into a small, lightweight space, but it has drawbacks.
Big ones.
It degrades over time.
Yeah.
I mean, your phone battery gets worse every year.
Tell me about it.
And it poses a serious fire risk if it overheats. Now, a vanadium flow battery is an entirely different beast.
It is not designed to go in a car. Mm. It is designed for massive, stationary, industrial-scale energy storage.
From my understanding of the engineering, instead of solid cells, a flow battery essentially consists of two massive external tanks filled with liquid electrolytes.
Right.
One tank has positively charged vanadium ions, the other has negatively charged vanadium ions. The liquids are pumped through a central membrane where the chemical reaction happens, generating electricity.
And the economic beauty of that system is that because the energy is stored in the liquid itself, you can scale the battery infinitely just by building bigger tanks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And more importantly, the vanadium liquid essentially never degrades. You can charge and discharge a flow battery tens of thousands of times over 20 years, and it maintains its capacity. Plus, it's fundamentally non-flammable.
And where is the demand for industrial-scale, non-flammable, infinitely scalable energy storage absolutely exploding right now?
Artificial intelligence data centers.
Exactly.
The generative AI boom requires staggering, unprecedented amounts of continuous electricity. Tech companies cannot afford even a millisecond of downtime, and they need reliable, grid-scale backup power that doesn't risk burning down billions of dollars of server racks.
Arius explicitly noted on the earnings call that the use of vanadium in data center flow battery projects is becoming a massive priority, particularly in China. And Largo isn't just watching this technological shift from the sidelines.
No, they're involved.
They actually own a 37% equity stake in a joint venture called Storion, which is a company directly targeting this exact VFB market. Arius stated that their Storion partners are seeing a significant tangible increase in demand driven specifically by the massive power requirements of these new data centers.
So the bullish thesis is that over the next 5 years, the fundamental demand curve for vanadium is going to transition. It will slowly decouple from the cyclical slumping steel and rebar market.
And attach itself to tech.
Yes. It will attach itself directly to the exponential secular growth curve of AI data centers and global grid energy storage.
That's a fascinating macroeconomic transition to watch. It really highlights why the surface level numbers don't tell the whole story. So let's give the Talk Ticker's audience their actionable marching orders.
Okay.
If someone holds LGO stock in their portfolio right now, or if they're considering establishing a position on Monday morning, what should they actually be monitoring?
My best advice is to stop obsessing over the daily spot price of standard vanadium.
Good advice.
Yes, the market is oversupplied right now, and the spot price is going to remain highly volatile. Watching it tick up and down every day will just drive you crazy. Instead, you need to watch management's execution on their strategic pivot.
Execution on what specific metrics?
Two things. First, watch their delivery cadence on the DLA order. Are they consistently hitting that 20 tons per week, or are they finding ways to accelerate it?
Right.
Because that defense contract is their most reliable source of sovereign-backed cash flow. Second, and most importantly, watch the reported margins on their new copper PGM shipments in the next quarter.
Ah, the donut holes.
They're donut holes. Management promised investors that this would be a phenomenally high margin revenue stream because the capital expenditure was essentially zero. We need to see the mathematical proof of those high margins reflected in the Q3 adjusted EBITDA.
Because management has successfully bought themselves 4 years of runway with that Brazilian bank debt extension, they have until March 2030 to complete this metamorphosis from a pure-play, highly vulnerable standard vanadium miner into a diversified, strategically vital, critical mineral supplier.
The clock is ticking, the debt cliff is gone, and they have a very clear, very logical operational roadmap. Now they just have to prove they can drive the car.
Which brings me to a final provocative thought. I want to leave our listeners with a geopolitical puzzle to mull over. It's something that wasn't explicitly spelled out in the Q&A portion of the earnings call, but it looms massively over every single strategic decision this company makes.
Okay, lay it on me.
We discussed the DLA aggressively stockpiling high purity vanadium for the U.S. military. We know that the European Union, the United Kingdom, Australia, and Canada are all rushing to build up their own strategic stockpiles of these critical metals.
The Western world is suddenly extraordinarily interested in the dirt that Largo pulled out.
Right. And based on the supply data we discussed, 87% of the global supply of standard vanadium is controlled by China and Russia.
Yeah.
It is a metal that is fundamentally required to build modern military infrastructure, forge high-strength aerospace steel, and power the massive flow batteries required for the next generation of artificial intelligence supremacy.
An 87% monopoly held by two nations that are, geopolitically speaking, increasingly adversarial to Western economic and military interests.
So here's the puzzle for you to explore as an investor. As the West suddenly wakes up from a decade of complacency and frantically rushes to secure localized, friendly supply chains, is Largo's true valuation actually tied to its current $2.7 million adjusted EBITDA?
Probably not.
Is its ultimate value determined by the margins on its new copper byproduct or the potential cash from selling a tungsten mine? Or Is the real investment thesis here that Largo, as the absolute largest primary vanadium producer, located in a safe, non-hostile, Western-friendly jurisdiction like Brazil, is essentially too strategically important to fail?
That's a great question.
Are they destined to become a heavily protected, vital pawn in the impending global war for battery supremacy and military steel?
It introduces the concept of a strategic premium. Does the U.S. Department of Defense, or Western industrial conglomerates at large, simply allow a company with this specific asset profile to go bankrupt when it represents the only viable scaled alternative to a Chinese and Russian monopoly?
I think the $60 million purchase order from the Defense Logistics Agency gives us a pretty clear indication of where the Pentagon stands on that question.
I'd agree with that.
It's not just about the PE ratios and the accounting write-downs on the spreadsheet anymore. It's about drawing strategic lines on a global map. And that changes the investment math completely. Keep your eyes on the operational execution, watch those byproduct margins like a hawk, and we will see you on the next deep dive.